Welcome to Definitely Something About Football.
This is Rob.
And this is J-Hop.
And today, we are pinning down the fantasy-relevant players of the NFC West.
Maybe the best division in the NFC?
No. Maybe the worst.
Maybe.
We're going to kick it off with the Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle.
The Legion of whom?
Yes, definitely.
So we've lost almost all of the defense. We still have Earl Thomas kicking it. Doug Baldwin is like kicking it on the IR.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have Jimmy Graham anymore.
No Jimmy Graham.
I don't even know. Do they have a running back on the roster? I think they're required to. I think the Players Association forces you to have running backs on your roster.
Despite Green Bay's efforts. Yes.
They've been arguing.
You know, yeah, they got that hot shot Rashad Penny.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I'm not a fan either. I mean, but who's to blame, really? Is it the running backs, or is it that god-awful offensive line?
It is that god-awful offensive line.
Like, they're so desperate. What did they I don't even remember, but
I don't even blame the offensive line. I blame the GM.
Yeah.
He's trying to get Russell Wilson killed.
Yes. He's like, I'm not paying him when his rookie contract runs out. I think they've already paid him a new contract, but still.
Yeah, they did. so let's kick it off proper. Let's talk about the most fantasy relevant player on the team, which is Russell Wilson.
Which he generates like something like 90% of their offensive production.
Yeah,
which is insane.
I mean, he's earning every penny that they're paying.
Yeah,
him.
He was their most productive running back last year.
Yeah, I think he's been the most productive running back since Marshawn Lynch left.
Yes, yeah. Oh, for sure, yeah.
Russell Wilson is, I think, quarterback number...
running back number 10.
He is quarterback number 3 going off the fantasy
number
boards.
Number 3, something like that.
That being said, he was the highest scoring quarterback last year.
Well, he had to be.
Yeah, because, you know, he's getting those rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's getting those rushing yards. And he also had the most passing touchdowns last year.
Really? That's a stat that I would not associate with
Russell
Wilson.
He's got to make up those points because nobody else on the team is.
What's amazing because, you know, obviously you know about Doug Baldwin and what he gives you, but it's like, I don't really consider that wide receiving corps or the tight ends or anything like that amazing for him to be throwing to.
Jimmy Graham
was good, but I mean, he hasn't been great in Seattle like he was in New Orleans anyway.
Right. Yeah, he's not the same. Like his first year there wasn't that great. His last year was pretty good.
Yeah, he's had some decent years.
I mean, I like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get him at the right time. That's the thing, because I'm scared. I'm a little scared about Russell Wilson this year.
Let's preface this with the fact that you are not a quarterback fan in the draft.
Right.
At all.
I prefer to wait on quarterback.
Right.
That being said, if my man Tom Brady comes up to me in the 6th round, I'm going to take Tom Brady.
Oh yeah, you're taking value picks. Yeah, but if you're everyone has their own fantasy philosophies.
Yeah.
And if you're a guy who thinks, like, I can narrow margins by getting a quarterback who's going to get me 4 or 5 points a game over my opponent's quarterback, then maybe I don't need the, like, I'll make up for how much worse my running back is than theirs.
So.
And I think that Russell Wilson will get you, on average, those couple more points. And then I think the thing about Russell Wilson that I think he's a little different than some of the other quarterbacks, especially the top tier ones, is he has so much insane of a ceiling of he can get you 40. Like if he's playing on Monday Night Football and you're down 35 points and it's him versus nobody, you are watching Monday Night. You don't think you're out of the game. You're going to watch Monday Night Football. And that's what these type of players are incredible.
So you're saying there's a chance.
You know, he might only score 15 points a game. But he might score 40 and then get you 3 rushing touchdowns. He might go crazy. Who knows?
15 points is his floor.
Yeah, definitely.
That being said, this year scares me from Russell Wilson because the defenses he's going up against are intense, and that O-line is not going to protect him And I'm surprised he survived last year without a severe injury. Like that, like he kept playing. He got injured. He kept playing. But man, I don't know, man.
I know this isn't as fantasy relevant, but I'm curious at how much he's going to target Richard Sherman when they play San Francisco twice.
Yeah. I wouldn't really.
You like, wouldn't?
I still think Richard Sherman's a very good player.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah.
I'd be. I'm just curious. That's just something I'm going to watch. And if you're a football lover, you know, maybe not fantasy so much, that would be a fun matchup to watch to see how much Russell Wilson throws towards Richard Sherman.
I mean, it's got to be.
Keep that in mind when you're watching.
Sherman's got to be covering Baldwin, I imagine, right? Like that's probably.
Although I think Richard Sherman's more of a left to right side guy. I don't think he he's more of like the left to right. So he'll probably change up. He'll probably majority be on Baldwin, but then who knows?
Their first game out of the bat, the Denver Broncos. You have both Von Miller and Chubb.
Yep.
Coming at Russell Wilson through
paper.
Yeah, that's the best way to say it. Then he plays the Bears.
Which are, you know.
Decent defense.
Yeah, decent.
Nothing to worry about with the Cowboys. But then the Cardinals.
They're decent.
Chandler Jones is going to, like, screw you up. Oh, man. No, I'm.
I mean, and they play the Rams twice. Yeah. And yeah, the hopefully Rams. Arnold Donald
has a
contract by then.
And then two games later, the Chargers. So Joey Bosa.
Well, the Chargers aren't going to have any players by the time he plays Seattle.
Oh, God, yeah. We'll save it for the AFC West podcast. I'm avoiding Russell Wilson because I'm just scared of injury, really. That's what I'm doing.
I think if I had an opportunity to draft Russell Wilson at a moment where there's no running backs I want. Like, there's running backs you have to take sometimes, but then there's those running backs like you really want. I take those first. I take those wide receivers I really want on my team. And then at that point, maybe fifth round, you know, maybe fourth round if all your guys are gone, you take a chance on Russell Wilson. I mean, the guy's given you 90% of Seattle's offense last year or something insane like that. Like,
it's a good point. It's a good point. You draft Russell Wilson, just plan to, like, be ready for a backup quarterback.
Right. And don't take Russell Wilson's handcuff. I don't even know who that is anymore.
But oh, God,
you might want to take, like, Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
Philip Rivers.
You know, maybe get Kirk Cousins late in the draft, we've been talking. That might be a good backup.
Doug Baldwin injured a knee in the preseason.
Ooh.
I ended up taking in one of my drafts. I still hate it.
Yeah, you regret it. You've been talking about that since we did another podcast about that.
I regretted it as I was putting the sticker on the board. I don't know what I'm doing.
But
that being said, he is Russell Wilson's go-to.
I mean, honestly, those are the only two players of fantasy relevance on this team, I think.
So Rashad Penny is going in fantasy drafts. I would avoid him.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. Chris Carson is actually doing better. Oh, so Rashad Penny got injured. Chris Carson's been getting a lot of carries. Yeah. They like him a lot. Carroll talks a lot more favorably about Chris Carson than Rashad Penny.
Again, those are just the running backs, I think. Like, you get them super late, and you just kind of hope they kind of...
Yeah,
hopefully become all stars, and then you can put them in your lineup, or you just get them off the waiver. Those type guys, but I'm not.
Again, you're dealing.
I'm not depending on them being in my lineup.
No matter who the running back is, you're dealing with one of the worst defensive lines in the NFL. So, Tyler Lockett, Brandon Marshall.
No.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Arizona Cardinals out in the desert. There is one big name that comes to mind for fantasy relevance:
David Johnson. David Big Dick Johnson? Can we say that?
I don't think that's a name. Is that? Do people call him that?
I feel like that's an auto name for anyone whose last name is Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like every...
Couldn't you just call him David Big Johnson?
Huh.
Doesn't that kind of establish the same thing? Because there's Big Dick Decker.
That's true. Decker, yeah, I guess you have to have the
Big
roll
Dick
the D's.
Nick. Big Dick Nick and... Yeah,
that's true. I guess you have to rhyme.
Maybe
David Big Johnson is
David Long Johnson.
Anyway, enough talking about.
Now that we've ruined this podcast for your kids,
yep,
I'm avoiding David Johnson, not because I think it's the smart thing to do, just because he burned me so much last year.
And
you got to like your fantasy team. That's the thing,
no,
right?
No, yes, exactly. Yeah, you have to like who's on your team. You have to feel good about it. You have to be able to brag about it. You can't say, oh, like, I can't believe I have this guy.
That guy you take in the first round, you should be proud that you have Kareem Hunt or
Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott.
Like, you want to be proud you have them on your team. I am personally not a fan of David Johnson after last year. It's not anything he did. Like, you know, injuries happen. But it just burned me so bad in my fantasy league.
And you know what's really crazy is, like, I know a lot of people who have that same sentiment, you know, of, like, not wanting to pick David Johnson. But he still never falls out of the top five.
Yeah.
Like, people still – it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's clearly like, people find
no one's there. Getting great value because of the injury last year. Yeah. I mean, they're still picking him top five, which I wouldn't want to. But
if you say Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, like, I'd be happy with any of them, you know, like – I just don't want David Johnson just because of the history I have with him.
No, I totally agree. There's at least like five or six people I would pick over David Johnson.
And I play a fantasy league in Atlanta, which is very nice for me because Tom Brady gets dropped now.
Yeah.
People don't like him down here. He's found a new city to piss off. David Johnson, though, I mean, hey, top three running back.
No.
I would actually say he's number four. I'd put Zeke above David Johnson.
I would
say
he's number five.
Over, you think Kamara?
Yeah.
Yeah? I personally agree.
At least I would pick Kamara over David Johnson. I mean, you just don't know.
I think I'd still take David Johnson.
You just don't know what you're going to get with the injury. Like, he's still, I mean, AP
was...
It was a hand, though.
It was not like a leg injury.
I thought he tore his ACL.
No, it was a... Or thumb or something.
Really?
Like
he was
that.
Out a whole year for that?
Well, he could have come back.
Wait, didn't he hurt himself the year before that?
No, that was his big year. That was when he was getting 40 points a game that year.
Man, I swear I remember him having an ACL tear at some point.
Maybe in college?
I don't know. Anyway, we can delete that.
Yeah, we'll probably delete all this. I don't know, maybe we'll leave it in there. This is a little bonus
nice
to you.
Banter.
Us being lazy is a bonus. So, Larry
Fitzgerald.
You can
always fast forward.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Larry Fitzgerald, still in the league.
Big Dick.
Big Dick Fitz.
I'm just kidding.
You're listening to Definitely Something About Football After Dark, where we just talk about the penises of the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh.
Larry Fitzgerald still in the league.
He's still having insanely good production. I don't understand. He's like the staple of staplers.
I don't know. I end up with him on my team, like on one of my teams every year, and he's starting to become very boomer bust. And
yeah,
I
totally agree.
I don't know if that's Larry's fault. I think it's just the team's fault. But like, he'll get like 45 points one week. And then he'll get two the next week.
Yes.
It's like, what is happening?
But you know what? He's always good for 1 point. He never goes through a game without catching a ball. So
I think Larry Fitzgerald has become more of a better NFL player than fantasy player.
Oh, yeah.
At this point in his career. And I don't want him on my team.
Yeah. I mean, I think he might be someone to watch when... I'm curious to see how he is in the first game with Sam Bradford, to see how much production he has with Sam.
Yeah.
And then I'm also curious to see when Josh Rosen finally takes the job at some point later in the year, maybe game three after Sam Bradford, tears his ACL,
breaks his rib
cage. breaks his whole body, disintegrates on the field.
Mr. Glass out there.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how he does with that game. But I don't think I want to start him in those first games. I want to see how he does. Maybe it's going to take a couple games before I get him in that lineup. If he's scoring like, 8 to 9 points every time, I'll probably move him in there.
Well, he's going in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So you got to commit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not a guy I want in the fourth round.
No, yeah.
Which is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Amari Cooper.
But he's definitely a guy like I'd want over like the sixth and seventh round guys that are available. So,
yeah, so but you're not gonna get
him there. I might stretch in the fifth and get him, but. But I don't think he falls that far, so I'm just surprised that he's going that high.
Christian Kirk is the new hotness, the wide receiver drafted to...
Yeah, from Texas A&M. He was their all-star.
And they lost a lot of their wide receivers this offseason. So, John Brown's gone, Jahan Brown is gone.
Yeah, all the Browns.
All the Browns, yeah. I think I always avoid rookie wide receivers.
Oh yeah,
like
in the first, like there's so few that make a difference their first year.
Yeah, it just takes so much time to get that chemistry going.
And what's
going.
Crazy is it feels like the first round wide receivers like don't ever have that breakout year the first year. Mm-hmm. It's always like that second, third round wide receiver who has like an insane year.
Yeah,
and then they kind of slop off, and then the first round guy picks it up.
Yeah,
except for like the top five guys, like Odell Beckham, right, obviously had an insane
exception,
year. But.
Yeah. I will say this. If you're in a keeper league, grab Christian Kirk in the final round of your draft.
Yeah.
Nobody else is drafting
him. Yeah, I was just looking. Is he even getting drafted?
No, he's not even being drafted. Because, yeah,
he might not even be on the little draft sheets.
No, he is.
Is
I
he?
Saw him,
okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, hey, a lot of potential. Because if Larry Fitzgerald retires.
And another thing is if your league does kick returns. This guy was insane in college on kick and punt returns.
Oh, yeah?
That might be some little extra value. You know, that little extra value that gets you like two or three more points a game just from kick returns. So I know that doesn't happen a lot. Like, not a lot of leagues. My other league, not the one we're in, does punt and kick return yards. It's like 1 for 25 or something. But that's something to keep an eye on. You can definitely get a few extra points just from that. So
very good point.
So, as far as the rest of the Arizona Cardinals, I'm not a fan of anyone else on the roster.
No.
I'm barely a fan of anyone on the roster.
Maybe the defense.
Maybe. Think so?
I feel like... So
they're definitely not like a top five.
They're not somebody you need to draft.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if someone does draft you, you're like, okay, good for you. I'll pick up somebody else.
But, they're a streamer defense, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're a good defense.
I agree in the fact that you can pick them in their matchups, but I think the unfortunate thing about Arizona is San Francisco's not bad anymore. The Rams aren't bad anymore. Seattle's not bad enough.
The offense isn't bad.
Yeah, none of them are bad enough where it's like, oh, you can depend on them for two games a year.
Right.
Yeah. So now you're talking, like, who do you play them against? Like, some random teams that they're playing? But
like, I'd take them against, like, the Bears. I haven't looked at their schedule, but...
Yeah, someone like that, but... It's not a lot of games that they're great matchups for, so yeah, definitely I don't think I would draft them. But if you're stringing defenses, a lot of people do that. There's someone you keep an eye on.
Yeah.
And if people in your league are streaming defenses, maybe they're just someone you put on your roster just to screw them.
I like that. Let's move on to the former St. Louis Rams. The artist formerly known as the St. Louis Rams. I feel like LA has too many teams, and I don't like saying their name too much, but I guess I just said
but
it
we
right
say
here.
New York. Anyway.
I say the same thing about New York, but okay.
But neither one of them are even in New York.
I know.
At least LA is in LA, right?
I actually don't know where the stadium
I'm
is.
I'm pretty sure it's in LA.
I think the Chargers play in like a football, like a
they play
high school
soccer.
Football field.
No,
or something.
They play the soccer. I think they play it anyway. Yeah.
It's not like
it's
any
weird
of these
that
teams
they don't
fans.
Play. That's true. Their fans left them a long time ago.
Rightfully so. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Back to
the LA Rams have Todd Gurley.
Todd freaking Gurley.
I think he is the best fantasy
player
in the league.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Especially as much as they beefed up their defense. Hell yeah, give me some Todd Gurley who's just going to continue to like pound it in.
I mean, he is like the upcoming Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was a couple years ago. I mean, who still is Le'Veon Bell. But now he's a younger version on a different team. So
I still think that Le'Veon Bell is probably the more talented running back. But for fantasy value, I say Todd Gurley is better.
Well, mostly because of the question marks with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be holding out on your team, you might not be playing the full season.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen. And Le'Veon Bell has had suspensions in the past, and he's had, you know, injuries in the past, so.
Yeah. Todd Gurley is going to be on a team that, by the metrics, is going to be...
Super Bowl contention.
Yeah, going to be, like, running it in the fourth quarter a lot.
Yeah, definitely that, too.
Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah, that's always good for running backs is when you can get goal line touches. So, and he will get a lot. And he's been getting a lot better catching the ball out of the backfield, too. So, that's always a plus. He's definitely, like, the third down back.
Yes.
Him, Le'Veon Bell, I think Ezekiel Elliott's kind of in that mix, too. Mm-hmm. They do, like, every single down back. You can get him as, if you can give him a touch every single... you know, down, you probably would win every game.
You're doing all right. Yeah. Is Jared Goff fantasy relevant?
He was the first quarterback taken in our draft.
Well,
anyway,
go back to early August if you want to hear that one. The first episode of the season.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's. He's definitely worse than the Matt Ryans and the Phillip Rivers and, you know, those guys. So, and they're already the second guy most people are taking anyway.
Patrick Mahomes or Jared Goff?
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, for sure.
Jared Goff had the benefit of playing against a lot of really weak defenses last year.
Yep.
He's not going to have that this year.
No, not this year. So.
That being said, man, Gurley's going to be that guy running it in on the red zone carries. Like, they're not going to try to throw it in once Goff is exposed.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking. Speaking of that, we have Brandon Cooks, the newcomer in LA. We also have Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Robert Woods was kind of their go-to receiver last year. Him and Sammy Watkins, and I think Woods got even more yards than Sammy Watkins did.
Woods was the highest yards. So
he's kind of the main guy on the block there. And then Cooks, obviously, you know what you're going to get out of Cooks.
I don't at all. And we kind of referenced this on the fantasy draft analysis.
Well, you know what kind of player Cooks is.
I know what you kind of player he can be. You don't
know how well he meshes with non-Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Exactly. That's my biggest concern with Cooks. I get it. Like, man, he is a good wide receiver, but we've only seen him play with Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
Yep.
Which is, hey, hard to beat.
But my thinking is with Jared Goff, he's a young guy. He has an arm. He can chunk it. I mean, we've already seen a playoff season or preseason, off-season training camp play where he chunked it like 80 yards to Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
So I'm very confident that Jared Goff can get him the ball deep. So I'm looking forward to it. I drafted Brandon Cooks, he's that, you know, what I was talking about with Russell Wilson earlier. Like, if there's a guy you really want, you take him. Mm-hmm. Brandon Cooks is the guy I really want. It's like, if he falls to me, I'm just going to pick him. Yeah. Like, I already got like two or three wide receivers. I'm going to pick him anyway.
Yeah.
And go with it. But I'm a big fan, but I mean, maybe it's a little Saints bias, maybe, but
I think that's what's happening too. But so Cooks, Woods, and Kupp are all being drafted, which is kind of crazy to me, knowing that Jared Goff is throwing the ball to them
and not being drafted.
Yeah, right. Like, can you think of another team that has three wide receivers being drafted?
How I was going to say that? The Vikings, but not really.
Thielen and Diggs, that's it. Although, I will say this, like, there's a Kyle Rudolph on the Vikings, whereas...
There's
no relevant tight end on the Rams.
Well, and then, like, Green Bay has, like, Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams and... Wasn't there another guy?
Jimmy Graham.
I guess there's not a third wide receiver that's getting...
Oh, Janoris Allison? Or something Allison?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I mean,
he's not being drafted though.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, I can't really think of a three wide receiver.
That is wild, player. Right? Jared Goff is the one throwing to three wide receivers.
I mean, when you think of the best wide receiver unit in the NFL, that's the Falcons with Julio Jones, Sanu, and Calvin Ridley. And Ridley's not getting drafted. And
Sanu most is barely drafted.
And Sanu, yeah. So I can't think of anyone that's better than that.
Yeah, that's surprising to me. But I'm avoiding all of them. Cooks, I flirt with drafting Cooks. That's probably just the Patriot bias.
Yeah, maybe. We both have a little connection. I'm not a fan of Kupp at all, so I wouldn't draft him at any point.
Yeah.
But the other two are reasonable.
Okay. So let's move on to.
Oh wait, we didn't talk the best player on the Rams, which is their kicker.
Oh, zero left. I generally just skipped all the kickers.
That's fair.
Because you know me,
he was the best kicker in the league last year before he got hurt.
He was.
He might have been the difference in that playoff game against the Falcons.
Might have been. Yeah.
I mean, they had a car salesman kicking the ball. Just saying.
Well, Josh Gordon was a car salesman for a while, too. So.
Well.
Bite your tongue, sir.
Josh Gordon is a little more athletic than a kicker. But anyway. All right. I digress. Rams defense solid. Probably one of the best defenses.
Yeah.
So you probably want to look at them in the late picks.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on to one of the most miraculous turnarounds of the season.
Yeah.
Last, well,
or they went
possible,
like
0-9
into 7-9?
6-11.
Was it
6-10? Or 6-10. 6-10. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. That's still pretty good.
Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo is.
Oh, Garoppolo is 7-0 in starts, right?
That's what it was?
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. So he had that one.
Unless you count preseason. Jimmy Garoppolo leading the 49ers to NFL relevance. Let me say that again.
Let's try it.
Leading the 49ers to NFL relevance again.
Are they relevant, though?
Yeah, I think so. Like,
when do you become relevant? No, wait, let's talk about this a second.
When you start winning games.
Are you relevant when, like, you make it to the playoffs or when you actually can compete for, like, a Super Bowl? Like, the Saints and the Falcons were relevant last year, even though they didn't make it to the championship games. But would you say Carolina Panthers were relevant?
Yeah.
Okay, definitely. Would you say Detroit Lions are relevant?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is the cutoff? Like, you got to be 500? If you get eight wins, you're relevant? Or?
No, you're relevant if you're getting at least five wins.
Five wins is relevant.
Well, I'm not drawing a line in the sand, but I'm saying, like, so last year, the Giants were not relevant at all in the NFL. The Browns were not relevant.
Okay,
the 49ers were not for half the season.
All right, like, let me explain it like this. Then.
Teams just roll over you, and it's like, oh, easy.
So as long as a team is playing another team, and it's not like you already chalked it as a W.
Right, exactly.
Then they're relevant.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
All right, all right. I can buy that. I can buy that definition. Okay.
I would like to say when, like, the Patriots go into Buffalo, it's like, all right, we know who's going to win here. But then, damn it, Buffalo. Like, they squeak out these wins. They don't even squeak them out. They blow out these wins against us. I don't know. Anyways, let's get back to the task at hand.
All right. The relevant 49ers.
The becoming relevant 49ers. Okay. I love what they did last year. They had the benefit of, like, coming on
teams
at the end of the season where some teams were sitting their starters.
That's true, too.
This year, I've got them winning 6 games, which is many games that they won last year.
But they're not winning them all at the end of the year this time.
Correct.
Okay. So you're telling me Garoppolo loses 10 games?
That's what I've got going on, yeah.
That's infinity more games than he's lost in his career.
That's a good point. But man, this year they're playing the Vikings, they're playing the Chargers, they're playing the Rams.
the Seahawks, the Packers.
Yeah, Packers. Even the Chiefs. Like,
what place do you think they come in the division? Last?
I predict that the 49ers, despite only winning 6 games, get second in the division.
What?
I have this division getting decimated by everybody else.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
But we'll get back to that in a little bit. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Sorry.
Are you going to draft Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
No?
Like I said, I think that Patrick Mahomes is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, and I would barely draft Patrick Mahomes.
I am not drafting either Patrick Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo, but
I mean, just say, if you get a deep league, he could be a good backup.
Keep an eye on Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, if he starts... Like
if you're in a 16-team league, he might be a decent.
Oh well, yeah, of course, right?
Like, someone's gonna get him.
He's playing against one of the toughest defenses in the league, the Minnesota Vikings, in the first week. Keep an eye on him that week, and then
see
be like,
how he does.
Maybe I'll pick this guy up if he does really well.
I mean, he might outplay Kirk Cousins that day. Who knows?
Yeah, I know, right?
And then you'll hear some angry fans in Minnesota.
Man, the Vikings have the better offense and defense in that game. If Jimmy Garoppolo comes in and outplays him, go ahead and just stash him.
They're going to be mad as hell.
Yeah. Yes, they will. Jerick McKinnon, the new hot shot running back. Well, I hesitate calling him a hot shot. Yeah.
Again, this is another guy that's like, I remember when he was in Minnesota. It's like, I didn't want to play him then.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Yeah. This, so. The only reason he is being drafted as high as he is because they paid him a bunch of money to come to San Francisco.
Listen, unless they're paying me a bunch of money to win my fantasy league, I ain't drafting this guy.
We have to believe that Kyle Shanahan has some kind of plan for him, but then they bring in Alfred Morris. I'm not saying they're playing the same role, but it does give me a little bit of pause. It's like, all right, maybe Jerick McKinnon isn't turning out to be what they thought. I'm letting somebody else take Jerick McKinnon at his current ADP.
Oh, yeah.
Pierre Garçon, Goodwin are the relevant wide receivers.
Yeah, they're late round picks for me. Just kind of bench fillers.
They're going crazy. Like Goodwin is almost not even being drafted.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's a decent pick late in the draft.
I got Pierre Garçon in like round 14.
Yeah, I think that's about where I got Goodwin.
Yeah, hey.
So
check it out, whatever. See what happens. Again, if Jimmy Garoppolo turns out to be the hot shit.
Maybe. They'll do something. Yeah, but then you're always, you can just always drop them. There's exactly. the droppable players. Pick somebody. So
George Kittle, the tight end there, making a lot of buzz.
Is he?
Yeah.
I've not even heard this guy's name before.
he got injured in one of the preseason games. Oh, he'll be back by week one. He's one of those tight ends you can bring on at the very end or probably on the waiver wire. Just kind of, if you've got a Gronk or a Ertz or somebody who's kind of injury prone, uh-huh. Not a bad pickup to just like stash in case that guy gets hurt. Or you could probably pick him up when
right,
he gets hurt.
Right, yeah, as I'd say, yeah.
But it might be too late at that point. Depends how he's doing.
Yeah, maybe, but yeah. I feel like if I have like a Gronk or someone and I didn't already have a backup for him, then I'm willing to sit on the roster, then I'm probably just waiting until their bye week or they get injured and just grabbing some random.
Yeah, yeah.
And this might be the random on draft.
That might be the guy.
I don't think anyone else knows his name either.
Yeah. All right. So that is the NFC West Fantasy Relevance Preview.
All right. So who do we have winning this division? I'm sure it's going to be a shocker.
I have the Rams, which is not a shocker. But I have the Rams winning the division at 9-7.
What? Yep. 9-7?
I said it a little bit earlier. Jared Goff has not gone against very good defenses yet. Like, well, he went against a couple last year, and they destroyed him.
I mean,
he had a very easy schedule last year, and then we saw him in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher would be pretty happy with 9-7.
He'd be like, yes.
Yes, it's not 8-8 and 7-9. I think they'll be a little better than 9-7.
I will say I have them going 5-1 in the division, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. I would say I haven't looked at their schedule and like mapped it all out yet or anything. But I would give them the benefit of the doubt that they'd be somewhere in like the 10-6 range. I just see them being a double-digit win team, especially with the moves they made this offseason.
Yeah.
Have put them as like a top-tier, you know, defense. So
teams of significance that they play, the Chargers, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Saints, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Lions, Eagles, and Panthers.
Yeah, I would say a lot of those are, I think they're favored in those games. And then some of the other ones, I'd say they're even 50-50. Like,
yeah, so I don't have them.
The Eagles and the, I mean, I think they're probably favored against the Chargers.
I don't have them losing all those games either.
Right. Okay.
I should actually specify, I said the Panthers, but that's the first playoff game that they play, right, yeah. And that's when they lose.
To the Panthers. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So Panthers wait, defense. You have the Panthers go to the divisional. Wait, we might have to revisit this.
No, sorry. The first first.
Right. Yeah. So they're going to the division round.
Wait. That no. Might wait. Be the that's the wild card round.
Right. Right. So you have the Panthers going to the like they don't even just lose in the wild card round.
Oh right. Yeah. They beat the Rams. And
wait.
Go
do
to
they
the
beat the next
round.
Team too?
Just
wait. I mean, I know we're getting a little offside track.
We're getting a little offside track, but hey, it's a little fun. The Panthers beat the Rams and then lose to the Falcons at home.
Wait a second. He has his phone out and he has his setup over here. You had the Vikings beating the Saints again? What is this?
You're playing in their territory.
Are you serious against... right now?
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Oh, I'm so sorry. But don't worry, you're in it until the last 2 seconds, and then they have a Hail Mary.
Well, it's better than we did last year. Oh, my God.
If it makes it up to you, I have the Steelers beating the Jaguars.
Oh, okay. Wow, you have the Patriots beating the Chargers?
I do, because the Chargers, Philip Rivers actually.
I'm willing to bet that you have the Patriots beating the Steelers, and then you have the Patriots beating the Vikings.
Spoilers. But the Patriots do beat the Steelers. You're right, as is tradition.
Okay.
The Falcons beat the Vikings.
It's a rematch.
We'll have to save the Super Bowl winner
for the final finale.
So tomorrow we are talking about the NFC East.
Yeah, the final team in the NFC.
Ooh, a lot of little Barkley, little Elliott.
Yeah, this one's a good fantasy. I mean, not a good football lineup, but a good fantasy lineup. A lot of fantasy players.
A lot of fantasy relevant players here. Oddly enough, I feel like I don't want to spoil anything. There's some hot shit coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tune in.
So until then,
I'm Rob.
And I'm Jay Hump.
We'll see you next time.